MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Chatting now with Keith McLachlan, Element Investment Managers. Keith, appreciate the early morning. Earlier in the week, the All-Share Index hit 100,000 points. As I said at the time, it's a meaningless number, but it's psychological, and we will take it. Of course, the All-Share is a lot of top 40s. It's a lot of gold. It's a lot of PGMs. I thought, what about the small and mid-caps? And frankly, when I pulled that list up, we're actually seeing some fairly spectacular and perhaps even wider returns in the small smaller stocks on our JSE.
Good morning, Simon. Earlier this week, the small cap index also hit a high. I think it was 9466 points, to be exact. Mm-hmm. But somewhat lagging the JSE All Share Index, but still very positive returns. I mean, up 18% over the last year versus the All Share up 24%. But I think the nature of the beast is that small cap indices tend to be more regionally focused in the countries that they're listed. I mean, these are companies that are less global than the large caps. And South Africa's GDP growth has been quite anemic and remains anemic. I mean, there's a lot of bumbling around percentage points, but we're not hitting the 3-5% growth that we should be hitting for a positive GDP per capita growth. So mm-hmm. we've actually, that creates headwinds against our small caps. But there's been some positive moves and some big moves up. Likewise, there's been some big moves down.
And I take your point. I mean, I was actually looking at something earlier in the week, and it was American. But, you know, a weaker dollar, who does that benefit? It benefits exporters. And if you look at the S&P, the NASDAQ, the export ratio is sort of 40-50%, depending where you're looking. When you look at the Russell 2000, which is sort of there, sort of small mid-cap, it was only 20%. So they're that much more geared to our economy. That said, a lot of the stocks in this space are, I mean, some of those PE ratios are minute and decent dividend yields. These are companies which it's tough out there, but there is money being made.
Oh, definitely. I mean, if we have a look at the small cap index, is trading at about a 12 times multiple versus the All Z at a 16-17 times multiple. So it's got a discount, but if you look offshore and you look into different markets, sometimes small caps trade at premiums to large caps because they've got higher growth rates. But our economy, and remember, small caps are more South African focused, and our economy is growing slower than the world, and our small caps therefore have lower growth rates than our large caps that have more global focus and therefore pick up global GDP growth. But quite quickly that can invert, and our small caps can gain huge premiums. I mean, just to understand how growth hungry this market is, I mean, have a look at the returns that We Buy Cars has generated. And this is in a no growth environment, you either grow via corporate action or you grow via cannibalizing market share. And We Buy Cars is a good example of cannibalizing market share from smaller unlisted players. And the market has rewarded them with spectacular growth. And they've got, let's be honest, quite a rich multiple attached to them. And that's an example of what can happen in this market. But generally speaking, our small caps are cheaper than our large caps because the environment isn't very much growth-orientated at this point.
And that's a great point around the cannibalization. I mean, Mr. Price earlier in the week was talking around their 10 basis point increase in market share. It is how you grow these days, which then says to me, so, I mean, rounding a number, we've had about 1% annual GDP for the last decade with a population growth of probably 1.5%. Everyone's getting poorer every year. If we start to see GDP at 2%, maybe even 3%, and I was chatting with Johan Els from Old Mutual last week around just that, and he says in the years ahead we could do 2 or 3, this could be a really good boost. I'm thinking of a small cap manager, CEO, who is making profit in a tough market. You suddenly give them some GDP growth. Could we see things like really, really significantly shift? And that ratio between the small and the Aussie sort of flip in a sense?
Oh, definitely. There's massive leverage in this market. And by that, I don't mean debt. I mean operating leverage. Mm-hmm. So a smallest whiff of top-line growth Can create quite a large amount of bottom line growth, and across a couple of years, the market will start re-rating. I mean, if you look at the big winners versus the big losers in this market, I mean, the big winners have all been interest rate sensitive or gold, telcos, gold, and let's be honest, delistings, which is a feature of this market. It's not a bug. It's a feature. Delistings. You want a healthy corporate action kind of turnover in this market, but you need new listings to help it as well. But that's a different topic. You look at the bottom of the market, and it's all guys like Afrimat, Cashflow, Cup, Italtal. They're all capital intensive, GDP sensitive, building and construction related and industrial. These are businesses that would explode if we had 3 to 5% GDP growth. And all of them are arguably quite well run. One could have different arguments for it, but none of them, there's big arguments against how well run they are. They're good businesses and good spaces that just need GDP growth. And they would absolutely explode in terms of the bottom line. And that would not just create growth in terms of the share price, but you would find the valuation re-rate upwards as well. So you have growth upon growth there. That would, but in the absence of GDP growth, they bumble along.
They do bumble along, and it's tough bumbling. But as I said, I mean the management team. I mean, kudos to them because they managed to keep their businesses going and truthfully grow profits. I mean, some we chatted Santova a little while ago. Yeah, they've done some offshore deals that certainly helps them. But it comes back to the point, and it was a comment someone made to me on Twitter earlier in the week, which is that they're looking at this and saying if we are positive on the economic direction, we need to have allocation to the sector in our portfolio. We can do it individually. You've got a local actively managed certificate out there. There's a mid-cap ETF from FNB. We need that allocation because when this starts to move, we're going to start seeing the profits. And it's almost a case of do we get in ahead or do we wait for those first signs? And I suppose that depends on your stress level you're prepared to take.
Well, certainly it also depends on your position sizing. I mean, in a diversified portfolio, if you allocate some money into this space and it's not overly large, you can carry the opportunity cost because the first 30% happens very quickly.
Yeah.
When this market will re-rate, it will re-rate immensely quickly. And that's if you just do a blanket allocation. I mean, the note you referenced, the share code is UUSMC. Mm-hmm. In the mid-cap space, one can allocate as well via ETFs. But the small-cap space, there aren't ETFs because there isn't enough liquidity, and therefore one has to be more active in the space. But certainly, you can approach it on an asset allocation basis. Mm-hmm. Also, one can take very very nuanced individual stock views. The first 30% happens very quickly. And from there, if we get into a good run rate in terms of GDP, and let's be very, very clear, South Africa has immense, immense pent-up potential. The combination of the public sector crowding out the private sector can reverse very, very quickly, and you can get an explosion of growth. And it's an explosion of growth based on spare capacity, so it won't even attract capex. What I mean, without talking fancy, is that there's factories and warehouses and industrial capacity that is already built that just needs to be used fully. Yeah. So it doesn't even attract capex. You can just run the factory 7 days a week instead of 3 days a week that you're perhaps running it at. There's warehouses that can be filled, and none of these things cost anything. So the first explosion of GDP growth can happen very, very quickly. But in the absence of this, the companies that are succeeding in this space have either, one, managed to unlock, let's call them the self-help or turnaround stories, like the blue labels, or the market cannibalization and winning market share ones, so growing positively in a static market like the WeBuy cars, or they've managed to escape the stratosphere of South Africa and have gone global like Santova, or some of the gold producers, Pan African and DRD, because if you're selling hard currency and you're in the right commodity, you can do quite well. So in the absence of local GDP growth, there is pockets of growth here, but one has to be very selective.
But that utilization, I hadn't thought of that, and that's the operational leverage you referred to. And I'm looking at that UUSMC, and disclaimer, I hold it. It is trading just off all-time highs. We'll leave it there. Keith McLachlan, Element Investment Managers, appreciate the early morning. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.